Chair, I sent out an email today to a bunch of finance committee members. I hope y'all received it. If you are actually there at the courthouse, I think I've got four or five copies. Looking at the summary of statements for quorum court, County General, Fund 1,000, $2,556,241.72. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,273,285.26. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $1,476,073.33. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,728,773.25. Criminal Justice Tax Fund 3407, $1,110,993. On the second page, it's only January for 2021. Only January is listed. It's a dot. It doesn't show up until a line is made. So we won't see anything from February until. I just wanted the new members to be able to see what normal reports we have. And you see on page 3, sales tax for January, $860,830, up 9.46% versus last year. And of course, we'll be 9.46 year to date versus last year as well. And to the next page on the sales tax, we're at 8% of projected. Projecting is $10,200,000. Flip with me to the last page, which is the chart. You'll see that we're trending down in the 3 month comparative to the 1 year. That's cyclical. That's seasonal. Okay. We did the same thing. If you look back to the point, not the point that drops below the 1 year, but the point that gets closest to it from last year, that's the same January number. I expect to jump back up in February. Are there any questions?
Hey, Scott, this is Randy.
Yes, sir.
So just looking at the projected at $10,200,000, it's actually about $59,000 less than last year. Is that just because it's early, or do you know something we don't know? Or
no, Randy, that's typically how I project that. And new members, this is, I guess, more for you. The rest of you kind of know. If y'all remember, criminal justice sales tax only sees a revenue. I mean, I'd say only sees the great majority of their revenue is this sales tax money and sales tax money only. Okay. So if I project long and it comes up short, they're in a bad, bad spot. I typically project what close to whatever last year's revenue is, and then whatever we come up with above that's great. I believe it was 2016 where we didn't make projected. That was the downturn that we had. I think we were negative 2.5% versus the year before. And criminal justice kind of got in a bind right there because the revenue didn't come in like anticipated. So we're typically on the backside of that. On the very low end of what I'm really expecting, but we just need to do that for projecting and budgeting.
Thank you, sir.
Does that help?
Yes, sir.
Okay. New members, I will let you know as well. I kind of put it in my email, but these are the reports that we've just used over the years. If you want to see something different, you want to see it laid out a different way, you want to see extra, you want to see something else, let me know. We'll work with you and do whatever we can to try to show this in the best way we can, to explain the easiest, I guess, is the best word for that.
Anything further from Mr. Sanson? Mr. Sanson, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Now, we have proposed ordinance 21-02, and I need a motion to put this on the table for consideration.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we consider 2102.
Second.
Good, we have it, the ordinance in play. This is a cleanup ordinance. Are there any comments or questions from the members of the committee? Are there any comments or questions from other members of the quorum court? Are there any other comments or questions from members of the public?
Mr. Chairman? I apologize. This is Justice Brown. I apologize for breaking in. I didn't hit unmute quick enough. I did have a question on the Section 12 and 13 on Coronavirus Relief Fund. I didn't know if the Sheriff's Office maybe could speak a little bit to that for me as a new guy. I was just curious of where that money came from and what conditions are attached to that, because I know that some of those relief funds have gotten, you know, you can only spend the money in a certain way. I want to make sure that this isn't a case of we actually spend it the incorrect way. And just if anyone can speak to that, that would be appreciated.
Hi, Justice Brown. This is Angie Woolley with the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay, great. That is a grant. It is not the $1.2 million that came in from the COVID relief that we got towards the end of the year. This is a separate grant that the Sheriff's Office received. It is titled Coronavirus Emergency Supplemental Funding Grant. It was received from the Department of Justice. And the transfers that are within this is for reimbursement purposes. The grant came in, the money came in after we had obviously had expenses that could apply towards it. And so once we searched all of our records and found what could apply to that, we came up with a spreadsheet with all of the cost. And that's why a certain amount is transferred to County General and a certain amount is transferred to criminal justice. So that's the money that was already spent out of that before we received it from the grant. And the grant could be used for, it said, funded projects or initiatives. May include, but are not limited to, overtime equipment, including law enforcement and medical personnel protection equipment, hiring supplies such as gloves, masks, sanitizer, training and travel expenses, particularly related to the distribution of resources to the most impacted areas, and addressing the medical needs of inmates in state, local, and tribal prisons, jails, and detention centers. So it was kind of specific to law enforcement-based agencies to help us with the cost of keeping our facilities clean and our employees safe.
All right, thank you, Ms. Willie. I was just, that clarifies it. I guess I was thinking that $1.2 million. I just wanted to make sure we didn't run into a situation where we transferred money to County General, spent it, and then when the federal government finally figures it out, they come back and tell us, oh, you got to pay that back, and it's already gone. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Are there any further questions on proposed ordinance 21-02? If not, I'll call for a vote. I need a motion now to advance this to the full ordinance 21-02 to the full court for its consideration.
I make a motion that we move it to the full court.
Second.
All in favor? Mr. Brown?
Aye.
Mr. Pearson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
And who have I?
Boyer.
Boyer. Now I see him now. Mr. Boyer?
Yes.
Okay. Proposed ordinance 21-02 advanced to the full court for its consideration. The second ordinance before us is ordinance 21-03, and I need a motion to put this on the table for our consideration.
I make a motion that we put ordinance 21-03 on the table.
I second.
Okay. Are there any questions? Rather than going through this section by section, which is the usual case, are there any questions about or comments from the members of the committee for any of the sections in ordinance 21-03?
Mr. Chairman, this is Justice Pearson. I have just two questions. The first one is about the vehicle appropriation for the Sheriff's Office. If a representative would just care to explain that.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak on that?
Oh, go ahead.
What this is, Tyler, it's not new appropriation. They received this money as a refund back in at the end of last year, but because it was receded in 2020, I can't add additional appropriation to 2021. It's going to show up in the carryover number. When the carryover number is adjusted next week or next month, when we get the actual carryover numbers versus the estimated. And that's the only reason it's not just, hey, we've got more money coming in and money's going out. Does that make sense?
Sort of. So you said it's not a new appropriation, correct?
It is new appropriated money. But what it is, it's from Angie, and you may chime in here. I believe it's from vehicle insurance refund insurance or something like that.
Yes, we had a total loss of one of our patrol vehicles in an accident, and we received the insurance check towards the end of the year last year, and so we did not get to replace that vehicle in our fleet until we have the money appropriated that came in.
And unfortunately, okay. What happened here is it overlapped in years. And since it was received last year and it's going to show up in the carryover money, I can't anticipate new revenue this year that didn't come in this year. I know it's a little confusing.
It was receded last year, but we got the money this year. Is that right?
No. It was receded and we got the money last year. But it's not going to show up until those carryovers are amended next month.
Okay. No, that all makes sense. I'm just trying to get that straightened out. Thank you.
I know it doesn't look good the way it's done, but I promise it's the way it needs to be done accounting wise.
Right. I agree. And my second question, be for Tom, if you're on the line, it's just about the equipment purchase for the conservation district. I believe there's a $50,000 some odd purchase for, maybe it's $30,000, I forget, but for a piece of equipment, and I was just curious what that was.
Yes. With the extension office, they have employees, but they don't work for the county. so if you'll notice on the extension office, there's $41,400 for other professional services. They will take that money and give it to the state extension cooperative service, who will in turn use that money to pay in part the salary of the people that work for the county.
Right.
So there's been no cuts in personnel as far as
I know. I guess one of my questions is about the conservation district.
I'm sorry, to my knowledge, and I don't know if Steve Martin's on here, but to my knowledge, they didn't request us funding any personnel for their office. That's that takes up pretty much all the money that's available to appropriate the way you had it requested.
Okay. I appreciate that. Just at my chances, anybody from the conservation issue one more.
Yes, sir. I'm Steve Martin. I'm here.
Yeah, hey, Steve. Could you fill me in just a little bit about what's going on at the district and why we're seeing the equipment and where your staff is?
Yes, sir. We have one employee that's a federal grant in RCS, and so that person is taken care of. It's, we upfront the money and then we submit requests to be paid back. We normally have a district coordinator. I'm filling that role right now. I'm a board member. I've been up there for 32 years, and the person we had employed left to go to the Feral Hall program over in Fulton County. So I'm filling that position. We felt like this year, I think it was $59,000 that was collected in volunteer tax, and I submitted a budget of $52,572. We felt like this was the main need. We have an oatmeal grill that is 5 years old. It's got about 700 acres a year. So our plan is to purchase a new one, and which we put out bids today through the county, and then we'll repair the other one to have it as a standby. Hopefully we use this much. There is even talk of the possibility of using it some over in Perry County. They have requested that. We haven't made a decision yet to do that, but at least that would give us an opportunity to expand that.
Right.
Well, we had two for several years, and we traded, we sold one and traded one in on a new one about 5 years ago. So we got this to be an excellent position. And then they also have an event up at Damascus where we had 1,700 students come in this past.
That follow with the state. And so we have some funding.
$100 a quarter from the state of Arkansas for fever tracking. And we feel like this money would help to go toward that. It's kind of a pretty good sized problem for Buffalo County.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate that, Ms. Parker. Maybe a demonstration for Perry County to sharp up that point. So that we move something else, let me know.
All right. I'll give you a call. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Is there anything further on Ordinance 21-03?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt Brown. I had a quick question as well. Mr. Anderson, Mr. Sanchez, let me answer this. On the Soil Conservation Extension Office, what is the usual income from a voluntary tax each year for those two funds?
This is the first year that we've had this income. This is the first year that we've had income to appropriate.
This is Brown.
Yeah.
The way, this is the first year, like I said, that we've had these kind of set up like this way. Right now, we're probably going to anticipate about $60,000 a year. It's all voluntary. It all has to do with how people feel and how they want to give, essentially, the voluntary tax, because there's no recourse once the tax year is over, those taxes are no longer due. Just kind of judging by the year, they came in a little bit lower than the other voluntary tax, which is the museum, emergency squad, and
animal shelter.
Animal shelter, right. So I think probably $60,000 a year is probably going to be our wheelhouse for right now. You know, depending on how people give, essentially, is the best word for that. We'll have to do it that way. And that's kind of the way we kind of set this one up. They're a little bit different from the other two. We're seeing what we collect the year before and then letting them appropriate that the next year. And I think we were in agreement with Extension and Soil Conservation when we kind of brought that idea together. Mr. Lawson may, Mr. Martin may think different. I don't know if they can agree or not. It's up to them on that. But Tom, if you got anything to add, go ahead.
No, Scott, I don't have anything to add. You covered it.
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Is there anything further from 21-03?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to report this to the full court.
I second the motion.
We have a motion and a second to forward this to the full court for its consideration. Mr. Brown?
Aye.
Mr. Pearson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Boyer? Mr. Boyer? Yeah, plenty of votes to forward it to the full commission, to the full court for its consideration. So, is there anything further to come before the committee at this time?
Justice Pickett?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Gerald Boyer. I would, if I may say something, sir, indulge me for just a minute. It's concerning an ordinance, and I've lost you on my screen. I don't know what happened. Ordinance 15-36 is an amendment to the Faulkner County Personnel Manual passed in January of 2016 by the full court. It says in part, all requests for personnel and salary changes for full-time employees shall be submitted to the quorum court by an elected official at its May and or September meeting. Any such requests submitted at other times may be considered by the personnel committee to determine if the warrants consideration outside of the designated months. There is a chronological order for receiving these before they are sent to the full quorum court. First of all, they have to be submitted to the personnel committee. If approved by the personnel committee, they are submitted to the budget and finance committee. And if approved by the budget and finance committee, they are submitted to the full quorum court. We do not have a personnel committee meeting scheduled. I don't know when the schedule for a personnel committee meeting will be. We do have the chair of the personnel committee in present today, and I would like to just make a suggestion to Chairman Pearson that we do have a personnel committee meeting, and part of that committee meeting, on the agenda for that, we would have discussion about a timely manner for the elected official department heads to submit to the personnel, so the personnel can submit to the budget and finance, and the budget and finance could submit to the full quorum court. Timeliness is the matter on this. If for some reason requisition for appropriations of personnel and or salaries is not made in a timely manner, then we have to go out of the jurisdiction of the ordinance to proceed. I hope I was not out of bounds, sir.
Mr. Chair?
What are you talking about, Mr. Boyer? Are we talking?
Mr. Chair, if I can interject.
Certainly.
So I think I see where Justice Boyer is coming from. I think the main issue is last year we did have some department heads come before the court out of sequence, if you will. So, you know, we know pretty much when they, based on the ordinance that he referenced, when they should be coming and asking for increased headcount and everything so it can go before the personnel committee and, if approved, come before the budget finance committee. So I think it does apply to budget and finance as we're discussing this. It might just be wise if, and this probably is more appropriate for the personnel committee, but it would be wise if we sent out a memo or you know, I don't know if we need to do a resolution or something or anything like that, but just to let the department heads know and remind them of this ordinance. Justice Boyer, what was the ordinance number?
It's ordinance 15-36, initiated in 2015, I suppose, but it wasn't completed until January of 2016.
Okay, so it's a five-year-old ordinance, but still, it's in play with the fact that, you know, the department head should be abiding by that when they're making their personnel request. And a five-year-old ordinance, and we did have some people last year come before us and say, well, I didn't know that ordinance is in place. So I think the point is that it would probably worthwhile for us as a forum court to send out some type of messaging and saying, hey, just need to remind you folks that if you want headcount or those kinds of things, there is a process for that to happen.
Yes. Just to say that would have been my intention to, I overlooked that part of it. We do have four new forum court members. So they won't be apprised of this until we let them know. And would also save some embarrassment, perhaps, for a department head not meeting the requirement in a timely manner, unknowingly, of course.
Justice Boyer, this is Justice Pearson. Would you remind me of the month? I know September is one of the months. That is the deadline, is that correct?
May and September.
By May and September, right? Well, so I'm not exactly sure what this is regarding that we have before us at present, but I will say this, that it's always good to have a reminder conversation about this. We have dealt with it, you know, the last couple of years, at least that I've been on the court, and, you know, as the chairman of the personnel committee, I can definitely commit to making sure that all department heads are aware of those deadlines. For the May meeting and the September meetings, because, like you mentioned, the change starts with personnel committee, so I will see that message gets put out there well in advance of those meetings, so that any department head who wants to bring one of those issues forward can.
That's an excellent. Thank you, Chairman Pearson.
Yes, thank you.
Is there anything further before the budget and finance?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt Brown, and this may be my ignorance as a new member. Do we need to do any kind of a formal motion on confirming the chairman or electing a chairman for the committee? I know that on the other committees, I think it's on the agenda, but I didn't see it on ours.
Mr. Brown, I'm the chairman.
Right, I didn't know if we have to formally set that up or how that works. I know, like, on the infrastructure committee, I think that's the first thing on the agenda. I'm just trying to figure out how this process works.
If I may, Chairman Pickett, and somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, but Justice Brown, my understanding is that it's at the leisure of the chairman to do that if they choose to or not, but it is not required.
That would be a question for the counselor. What does that say?
Yeah, so under our rules that we use through the Democratic Rules of Order, the executive makes the assignment of the chairperson. However, a board or a committee can, upon motion, change that chairman. So it's my understanding that somebody contacted the infrastructure chairman and requested that be on the agenda for this evening. I don't know anything else about it. But procedurally, the county judge appoint a chairman, but that chairman can be removed with the majority of the committee.
All right. In that case, and this is no disrespect to Justice Pickett, I would make a motion to suggest Justice Higgins as chairman of the Budget and Finance Committee. I've known Justice Higgins for a year or two now, and I've really respected his insight and leadership efforts, so I make a motion to suggest him as chairman.
Question is Justice Higgins, are you still chairman of the Personal Public Safety Committee?
At this point, yes.
Gotcha. Why do you say at this point? Is there something we should know?
Well, no, I always have, I've been chair of the Courts and Public Safety Committee for a number of years, and every new term, I actually do offer up recommendations. So it's on my, I have an organizational topic for the Courts and Public Safety to follow this committee just to confirm where. That's a process that I have been doing for at least 8 years. But let me go ahead and respond to Justice Brown. Justice Brown, I certainly appreciate the vote of confidence, but I have no interest in serving as the chair of the Budget and Finance Committee at this time.
Thank you. I think that's it.
All right, Justice Pickett, I think the ball is in your court.
A motion has been made and either not seconded or withdrawn, I didn't hear. But if there's nothing further to come before the committee, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
I'm sorry, Justice Pickett, I'd like to speak. This is Justice Rowland. This really doesn't pertain to any of the budget information that y'all discussed tonight. It pertains to, I actually got a text from several people. You had asked the public if they wanted to speak on the first ordinance, 21-02, that you guys passed. And the public, is there a way, they're asking me, is there a way that they can speak or respond? Because he offered that to the public, and apparently somebody wanted to respond, but they...
Justice Pickett, if you couldn't hear, Justice Rowland was asking if there was a way for the public to respond to your earlier request in regards to Ordinance 21-02. At this point, I would recommend, since it's already passed, it will proceed to full court, and there will be a time where if the public wants to discuss any matter before the full court, they can contact our office and we can make arrangements for them to come in and speak during the full court proceeding.
Okay.
So that way, that should alleviate that issue.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We got it resolved, Justice Pickett.
Okay, well, anyway, when I called for the public comments on 2102, nobody commented.
I don't think they had a way. That's what they were asking. They did not have a way to comment. Except unless they were sitting in the room, which is limited because of COVID.
So let me just make this quick statement for everybody, just to make sure we're all on the same page. Certainly, we had COVID limitations here in the courtroom. However, the public is always invited to courtroom B in case we don't have enough room. And like we have in years past, if and when the public needs to come in, if we've exceeded our capacity, we can simply one by one have them come in and speak and then exit after they're done speaking. So I know several months ago we had that issue when we had a pretty packed courtroom back in August or September, and that's kind of the route we took. So if any member of the public wants to speak, there's a couple ways to do that. One is to contact the chairperson of that committee and have that put on the agenda. The second is to contact our office, the judge's office, and let them know if they would like a chance to speak, and they can work with the STIP to be on that schedule and have them in courtroom B, and they can come in and speak from
okay.
that time.
That's fine. That's good. That's good. So, good information for everybody to know.
If I hear a motion to adjourn our budget and finance.
Second.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
So I guess we can move to courts and public safety. We'll give it just a moment. So do we have a secretariat? Is Margaret available?
Yes, I'm available.
Right here, Margaret.